How are we going to walk out our lives going forward today when we leave this place? And if any of you know me, I'm serious about the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God as truth. And I try to walk my life according to the Word of God, although not perfectly. He knows we're not going to be perfect this side of heaven, but we strive towards that goal. But I want to pose that question again. How are we going to walk out our lives going forward today when we leave this place? And the choice is ours. God gives us a choice. You can choose to believe in Him, or you can choose to believe in something else. But you get to make the choice because He gives you free will. Now, maybe we need some encouragement regarding the choice we're going to make. Some support, if you will. We are all at different levels in our journey. The body, at least this body here, is here to support you as is God's Spirit. So you shouldn't beat yourself up if you're not there yet. It's a journey, but one that indeed can be victorious. Are we going to embrace these words? And I'm telling you, they're very powerful words, and we're going to get into that. Are you going to embrace these words? And as a result of what they imply, or are we going to continually listen to the lies of the enemy, Satan himself? Because believe me, he's alive and well and walking around trying to destroy. He is the father of all lies and conducts ourselves like some weak and defeated foe. So we can choose to walk out of here in one direction, or we can choose to walk out as weak and defeated foes, being immobilized by worry and fear, and every wind of doctrine out there, every storm and trial and tribulation, and therefore not being able to fulfill our rightful place in the earth and our God-given destiny in the here and now and for an eternity. It's a choice. Three seemingly very simple words, but really three very powerful words indeed. Now, you can search the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you're not going to find those three words there. However, if you turn to the Gospel according to St. John chapter 19 at verse 30, these words are revealed as having been spoken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, and I call Him King Jesus, Messiah, Mashiach, Christus, King Jesus, while hanging on a cross that He endured for you and I. John chapter 19, 30. When Jesus was on the cross, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He gave up His spirit. The word says He gave up His ghost. It is finished. Even though we are past the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, Easter, if you will, having occurred a few weeks back, God has placed it upon my heart to release these words to you today. How do I know it? Because I went to bed one night a couple weeks ago and I said, Pastor Tim has blessed me to release the word to this body. What do you want me to preach? And I don't know if it was that night or several days later, but I wake up. Sometimes I wake up preaching in my dream, and other times I wake up and it flashes on me, "It is finished," are the three words I got. So I believe this is the word of the Lord this morning. It is finished. On their surface, they appear simple, nothing overly excited about them, and perhaps even easy to overlook or misunderstand their significance. Let me assure you, we ought not overlook them, and especially given the world we now find ourselves in today. Three simple words conveying a great feat, a phenomenal accomplishment. And by that I mean remarkable, especially as you dig deeper into what happened or what transpired. So to dig deeper, we have to travel all the way back into the book of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, the beginning, where this non-fictional true story begins. Now, how do I know that it's non-fictional? How do I know that it's the truth? because the Spirit of God is in me. I'm a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. I was baptized with the fire, as all of you likely were. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I also have His Word revealed to me by that same Spirit. I'm reading from chapter 1 at verse 26, and I forgot to write where that was, but just follow along. It said, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and hear these words, let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth.'" Connect them. Let them rule over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, I'm going to give you a little meat of the word. Society's a little confused about that today. Male and female, He created them. We have to have understanding of the word. Sometimes the word's going to hurt. But we have to either accept the word or deny the word. I chose to accept the word. Whether I agree with every area of the word or not is irrelevant. God's word stands as truth. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." To highlight, God gave man and woman the authority, the dominion over all the earth. They were to rule and reign with God. The Garden of Eden was their dominion and it was paradise. Genesis further reveals that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In other words, man was given his spirit or soul. He was a living being. You and I are living beings. Man became a living being. When we die, our bodies return to the dust, but we continue to exist as conscious, self-aware people forever with a heavenly body eventually being raised up for us on Christ's return. However, where we live for an eternity depends on what we believe, as evidenced by how we choose to walk in this earth and what we put our faith or trust in, or rather who we put our faith and trust in. And I put it in Jesus. You have to understand the Word of God says that we are strangers and aliens in this place. This place is not going to last forever. Our lusts of the flesh are not going to last forever. The world's confused about that. They've decided to pervert the Word of God to serve the creature rather than the Creator, and that's why we're in the mess we're in today. It doesn't matter what I think. It isn't about my emotions about what's going on in the world. I have to choose what the Word of God says and how to conduct myself accordingly. I either choose God or I choose my flesh. There's no in-between with God. You either serve me or you serve something else. I want you all. I want you all. Some people aren't going to preach that, but we've got to preach the meat of the word as well. Yes, God's a loving God, and He'll love you all the way to hell if that's where you choose to go. It's a hard reality, but it is what it is. I want Him to love me all the way to my eternal destiny, heaven. Because this place pales in comparison, Lord God, I'm going off track. This place pales in comparison to what He has in store for you because it's a kingdom without any end. You're not going to cry. Some of us cried this weekend with a family issue. There's going to be no tears. He's going to wipe them away. You're going to be forever in a state of paradise with Him. We got 70 years in the earth. Talk to you, Terry, about this. Psalms 91, I believe. More with strength. That's just a blip, right? In all of the eternity, I'll deal with what I've got to deal with down here, and God's going to give you good stuff. But the reality is, this is temporal. What God has in store for you is eternal, and you're on a journey. And if you feel like you don't fit in, read some news, and you'll feel like you don't fit in as the body of Christ. It is the way it is, because we're not part of the world. Christ told us that He wasn't part of the world. We'll suffer. We'll have trials and tribulations. We lose a lot of Christians. I'm suffering. Yeah, you're suffering because you're suffering for Christ. He said you're going to suffer, and I've talked about that before. Let's get back on track. To highlight, God gave man and woman the authority, the dominion over the earth. They were to rule and reign with God. The Garden of Eden was their dominion, and it was paradise. It was paradise. Now, you have to understand this. Genesis reveals that God formed man from the dust, and he gave man dominion. Now, when God planted, the Lord God planted in the garden toward Eden, east of Eden, there he placed the man whom he had formed. And in the garden was placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And instructions were given by God from that any tree they could eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil shall you not eat. For in that day that you eat it, you're going to surely die. Now we all know the history of this story, this non-fictional story. The Lord created a woman for man, and therein steps the serpent, or Satan. And have understanding about this. This is key to it is finished. He didn't enter legally into the earth. God gave man dominion in the earth. He formed man of the dust of the ground, and he said, to man and woman I give dominion. Satan wasn't born into the earth. He didn't have dominion. He did not enter legally into the garden. He had no dominion in the earth, nor really does he now, although some think he does, and he was because he was not born legally. God's a God of order. Gotta love God. That's why I'm a little bit of a manager, because I like order. He's a God of order, and his word's truth. Satan's power is to mess with your mind, okay, if you allow him. In this instance, he messed with Eve's thinking, and the end result is she believed the lie and ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, she succumbed to the temptation, and men don't get too excited because Adam did too. Okay, we want to blame Eve. Adam and Eve sinned. And ultimately, there in the fall of man, removal from the garden where they were to have dominion, and eternal separation from God. And you've got to understand this. Eternal separation from God, it's called the second death or spiritual death. Were they allowed to remain in the garden and perhaps choose to eat from the tree of life, they would have been in a permanent state of separation from God for an eternity, as they were now in a fallen state, having disobeyed God's commandments. At that time, there wasn't an atonement for that. Okay? God knows what he's doing. Okay? So what did he have to do? He had to kick him out of the garden. Okay? The fall is the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and it explains how two people created by God could produce a race that we find ourselves in today, marred by crime, injustice, hatred, war, and various other sins. And what are the wages of those sins? Death. And I'm not talking physical death. I'm talking spiritual death, the second death that's talked about in the New Testament, separation from God forever. We're all going to die, or maybe we won't in the natural if King Jesus decides to come back. But it's that second death that ought to be concerning. Physical death and without redemption. When Adam and Eve sinned, their very natures became warped and twisted. They passed on this twisted nature to all their offspring, including you and I. And hear this very clearly, because I'm going to talk about this, because there's a lot going on out there in the earth, and they don't have understanding. Sin comes through the bloodline. Do you understand? Sin comes through the bloodline. The thinking of the world today. I was created this way. God created me this way concerning a justification for this sin or that sin that is contrary to biblical truth. And I say, beep, wrong answer. God created you in his image, and he is holy. Sin entered in through man's disobedience, caused by man's desire that was contradictory to God's desire in the garden by Adam and Eve, and through the bloodline that sin comes into you and I. Generational. He closes the Ten Commandments with, I'm a jealous God visiting the iniquities of the fathers or the sins of the fathers onto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He gave us warning it's going to come through the bloodline. So generational curses, if you will. God didn't create us as an adulterer or a murderer or a liar, or you fill in the blank of what we try to justify to live a lifestyle we want to live. Sin comes through the blood, but it can lay dormant through the free will But we can also choose to let it rule and reign in our hearts, serving the carnal man, the fleshly man, or we can choose to serve God. We can choose to serve sin or choose to serve the Creator. Now, you might ask, well, why did he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden in the first place? Right? That's everybody, I get that question. Well, why did he do this? God created human beings in his very image. Since God distinguishes between right and wrong and makes moral choices, so too Adam and Eve had to be given the opportunity to make a true moral choice. Have understanding. We were created in his image exactly. And we're not talking about male-female of the sexes. We're talking about the spiritual of male and female. God is both. And their choice meant the consequences of man, right, no longer being in right standing with God. Eve began to doubt God's motives and his ways, and she relied instead on her own senses and judgment rather than on God's word to determine what was truly good and right for her. The result, of course, disaster. Now that sounds like the world I see myself in today. How about you? Not knowing that God's thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's in Isaiah 55. He is greater, he is creator, the sovereign, supreme ruler, God. I don't have to agree with his word, but I'm going to follow it. I don't understand everything in the book. There's things in the New Testament that I don't get. I want people to be happy, and God's desire is that we are happy serving him, right? But the world's taken on a whole new take on what they think God's saying in his word. Oh, that word isn't truth today, right? That was for millions of years ago, or whatever you want to say. Whether we agree with God's word in certain areas or not, we ought to follow them because God knows all, and his truth, his logos, which is the written word, the revealed, which is the rhema word, as well as the incarnate word, which is Jesus, is for our ultimate good and our eternal well-being, whether in our finite minds we can comprehend the truth of the entire word or not. We must by faith believe in the word as truth and follow the word as truth, even when our fallen nature might choose otherwise. And I have questions with Daddy God all the time. I don't know why you allow, why is this in the word? I don't understand it. And his response to me is, I'm the all-supreme, all-knowing God. I don't have to explain it to you. I created you. You ought to believe and trust in me and get a revelation that I know what I'm doing. You don't in your finite mind. My ways are greater than your ways. So I don't have arguments with the world when they say, this is right, this is right. I'm not of the world. And I don't serve a worldly God, which is Satan. I serve the Almighty God, right? The ruler of heaven and earth. He tells me not to do this. I don't have to agree with it, but I'm not going to do it because I have reverence or fear for the Lord. Now again, I don't walk the perfect path always. I make mistakes. I stumble. Good thing about the Christian is, what does he say in 1 John? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And occasionally I have to go to Daddy and say, I messed up. And Daddy might give me a spiritual spanking, right, to set me on the right path. And it's the same for all of us. He's not expecting that. If you think you're going to be perfect walking the earth, I got some news for you. Not going to happen. It doesn't mean we don't strive. We have to strive to be more like him. But if you start getting in, this word isn't for today, and this isn't really what God meant, the world has a problem. What's the problem? Because we don't, even if they don't read the word is in you. There's no one that's going to come before the throne room of God and say, I didn't understand, because the Spirit of God is in you. At least an element of the Spirit of God is in you. You'll have more infilling as you desire, as you start to serve and worship him. But the reality is, you can't tell me this isn't truth. And I don't argue with people because the Apostle Paul said not to do it. Someone come to me and start telling me this isn't what the Bible says, and my response is, I'm going to pray for you because you're in trouble. Okay? I don't have to get into a discussion about this is right or that isn't right. I go to the Word of God, and the Word of God tells me what's right and wrong. Again, it isn't a litmus test. Do I believe it or not? How do I feel about that? God doesn't care how you feel about it. It's His Word, and His Word is truth, and we ought to follow the Word of God. Especially the body of Christ, because when He comes back to judge, He's coming back to judge the church first. We're to be the example in the earth. We're to be the light in the earth. If we're not light, how are we going to bring that light to others? I'm off track. Either we accept the Word of God or we don't. Timothy, 2 Timothy assures us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16. We cannot pick and choose that some is and that some is not truth. The world, God's a loving God. He wants me to feel good. And certainly His Word really didn't mean I can't do this or that, that either this isn't true or it's for yesterday and it doesn't apply now and so goes the mind, or part of the Bible isn't really applicable today. Well, the Word says, again, He's the same yesterday, today, and always. The world changes. I've been around long enough. I'm not as old as some of you. Got to have a little sense of humor, but I'm older. His Word is eternally true. We easily ignore, perhaps conveniently forget, that His Word also reveals that He is a just and righteous God. I love it. I walk, oh, God loves me. God loves me. Whatever I do, God loves me. You're right, He does love you. But He's just and righteous. Keep walking the path of destruction, you're going to be destroyed. God's a just and righteous God. The world forgets that. Oh, He loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Oh, this is great. Yes, He loves everybody. But He walked around when He healed people, and what did He say? Sin no more. He was on a mission, right? And we're on a mission too. We have the fallen nature from the beginning through the bloodline of Adam and Eve. It is in our nature. However, so is our ability to make moral choices, ones that perchance align with our fallen nature, or ones that are made according to our spirit man or woman as led by God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have a choice, free will bestowed upon us by the Master Creator God. Okay, now I'm going to return to the fall. In steps our faithful God with a solution to our dilemma, with a way out to get man and woman back in right standing with Him, to undo the works of the devil, to restore which was stolen by Satan, who entered again illegally into the earth and into the snake. Satan was not born into the earth and didn't and now doesn't deserve dominion. He doesn't really have it. Man can't. Mankind does today, ordained by God if we pick it up. You have to have understanding of that, because if you walk in the earth as a defeated foe, you've missed what Jesus accomplished at the cross. He said it's finished, dominion reestablished, although one could argue it was never really taken away, but the keys of the kingdom were, because we got separated from God for an eternity. Okay? He doesn't have it. Mankind does as ordained by God. Why? Because God cleaned up our mess and put things right again, and this time they can't be messed up again. How, you ask? The solution? Isaiah 9 at 6, Old Testament. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government shall rest on His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Jesus. Hundreds and hundreds of years before He was born, it was prophesied. And that's who I serve. I walk my life in the earth having understanding. I know, here we go. I walk having understanding that Jesus is my head. Jesus' power is resident in me. I'm not a defeated foe. Satan doesn't control me. He can whisper in my ear, right? And He'll do it in the ways He knows He can get at you. Oh, Julie's job is important to her. Let's bring in some havoc in her job. Oh, we know that this child turns your buttons. Let's get things heated up with your children. Right? Now, oh, poor me, I'm going to hide in the closet, I'm going to cry, or I've got a revelation. I'm a kingdom kid. I'm the son of the living God. I'm an heir to the throne room of God. I'm walking with Jesus, or Jesus is walking with me. And he says, as I said to you at the beginning of this service, fear not. I've got this covered. Stop worrying. I'm going to take care of business. Now, he may have you do some things as he's taking care of business. He may give you instruction and direction. And I'll pray and I'm going, okay, Lord, I've been praying for you for 2 years. You keep telling me nothing. What am I supposed to do in this situation? I'm taking care of it. You turned it over to me about a year ago. Are you going to give it up now? Really? Are you going to give it up and let me take care of business? By the way, I don't need your help unless I ask for it. I created you. Jesus was at the beginning with God creating all things. And through Christ, all things hold together. Are you breathing this morning? Guess what? You're one heartbeat away from not breathing. But praise God, Jesus is keeping you beating. Why? Because he destined your time in the earth. So we can get worried about, oh my God, I'm going to die. Yes, probably. We're all going to die, but not at your timing. At God's timing. When he says it's finished for you. And you've accomplished what he set out for you to accomplish. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God stepped into the earth. Jesus came. Behold, I am laying, from Isaiah, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. What did Jesus call himself? The chief cornerstone. You build on this foundation of Christ, you ain't going to be, you know, the three little pigs. You ain't blowing over that foundation, right? It's not built on straw. You can blow all you want, Satan. You ain't going to take this one down. And I build on Christ. And so whatever I face in the day as I go forth, right, at work, at home, wherever I go, I'm a kingdom kid. I got Jesus with me. Everything's going to be fine. It may not be the way you think it's supposed to work, right? You say, well, no, Lord, I want this to happen. I want that to happen. But he sees everything. He can see all the way into the future. He says, I'm not going to give that to you, but I did answer your prayer. The minute it released, he's already answering. Well, it's taking forever. Yeah, it takes forever. Sometimes his timing's not our timing, you know. And the problem is, as the body of Christ, we become impatient and we think God isn't listening and on and on and on. And the reality, he's looking, he says, you know, you turn this over to me, but you keep worrying. Where's your faith? Where's your faith in me to do what I said I would do? From Isaiah 9:2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Talking about Jesus, Jesus called him, it was the light. Jumping into the New Testament, we all know this scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever says Hail Mary 800 times, whoever gets baptized 40 times, doesn't say any of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all it takes. Now, believing in him means your life's going to be changed. You're going to walk, and your walk's going to show that you could believe in him. You can't just say, I believe in you, Jesus. Jesus has direction about how we're to live our lives that shows we believe in him. I'm going to say I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to live an adulterous life. No, right? Because if our faith is we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to walk Jesus in the earth. Jesus said, John 6:56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Whoever eats my flesh, whoever comes to me, in other words, whoever drinks my blood, whoever believes in me, abides in me and I in him. And every time I call on Jesus, I'm eating him spiritually. I'm having communion with him every time I call on him. So how does this thing work with Jesus? He had to be born legally into the earth as the second Adam to do what the first Adam didn't do. Walk a righteous path without sin to fulfill the law established by a holy God that he demanded to be fulfilled perfectly. Man failed to do it. The first Adam failed to do it, but the second Adam, Jesus, didn't fail. Right? He didn't have sin coming into the world. Why? Why didn't Jesus have sin coming in the world? Because he was begotten, not made. You have to understand this. Yes, he was in the womb, but the Holy Spirit begot him in the womb. So the sin through the bloodline didn't come into him. So he started out without sin. Well, he was God. When he came to the earth, he was a man. He stripped himself of his divinity, right? How did he get his power? He got baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? Came up out of the water and a dove descended on him. Had nothing to do with the water. You know, that's not scripture. What happened is the Holy Spirit descended on him. And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And he went in his ministry now in the power and anointing, just like you and I all have, right? And we talk about it when you minister, all of a sudden the Spirit comes on you, right? Because we have the faith, and he said as a seal of that, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit on you. Whole nother discussion. So Jesus had to come in legally, right? He had to be born into the earth. Sin didn't enter through the bloodline in Jesus because he was begotten in the womb, but he came legally because he was born in the earth, unlike Satan. Jesus had authority to take back what was stolen by Satan in the garden. He had authority to return man and woman to right standing with God by walking perfectly in the earth, by fulfilling the law, obeying the Father completely, by shedding his blood for the atonement, because everything God did for forgiveness involved blood, right? In Old Testament, they had to slay things, lambs or whatever, to blood cover. Now we needed a permanent blood covering, so Jesus' blood had to be shed. You have to understand this stuff. This isn't fairy tale. This is scripture. And if you aren't hearing it from the Word, you ought to get it through the Spirit of God. Jesus' death on the cross was always an essential element of God's plan. Christ's crucifixion was foretold in the Old Testament. Jesus even informed his disciples that it was going to happen. And rather than call on Daddy God, hey, save me, he couldn't, because he was on a mission. He was on a mission to save us. Okay? God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Man created a mess, and we're good at that, in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus cleaned it up. And he cleaned it up for you and I for an eternity. It is finished. I walked perfectly in the earth. I did not sin. I was obedient to the Father always. I purposed to be crucified on the cross. I became the sacrifice or the sacrificial lamb that God demanded for the world's sins, all of them, every single sin ever committed or ever yet to be committed, a sacrifice acceptable to God, my body and my blood. His acceptable to God, Jesus was acceptable as our blood covering to wash away our sins and the penalty of those sins, which was eternal separation from God. I nailed everything to the cross. I bore every single sin. I bore all sickness and disease in my body. No further atonement need be made. I reaffirm dominion. Hear me. Reaffirm dominion for man or woman in the earth. I defeated Satan. Took back the keys to the kingdom. The works of the devil undone. The works of the devil, in fact, destroyed. Man and woman can once again be in right standing with God, and now we have direct access to the throne room. I don't have to go to a priest to confess my sins. There's no veil there anymore. I go right to Daddy. Hey, I need some help here. And the minute it's released off my lips, Daddy's taking care of business. Right? And I remind him once in a while, like he needs reminding. Hey, your word says if I confess you, Jesus, before man, I say this all the time, you'll confess me before Daddy in heaven. So I'm praying about our sister-in-law, and thank you for some of those who have been praying for her, who's seriously ill. And I said, Jesus, you said if I confess you before man, you'll confess me before Daddy in heaven. I got a situation down here, and I need you to intervene for me. And I know the minute it's released, he's taking care of business. Now we can sit and start, yeah, it's emotional. We're human beings. Jesus wept, right? He says we have emotions. It's okay to be emotional human beings. But we shouldn't be fearful human beings, right? Because the minute I turn it over to God, right, He's taking care of business. Maybe it's not going to turn out the way we want, but he knows the way it's supposed to turn out, and that's where your faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, Hebrews 11. By it, men and women of old gained approval. I may not see the solution. I may not understand what you're doing, but I have faith that you know what you're doing, and it's for everybody's good, those that are serving you, right? Let it go and let God. Did you come into this place this morning discouraged? Did you come into this place with anxiety and fear? Did you enter in with the weight of sin? Did you enter in thinking you have to be the solution to every problem? Some of us fisters are a little controlling. We like to solve things. If you don't fix it, who will? It's up to me. Nothing or nobody can help. Did you enter in worrying about your future and your future destination? Are you heavy laden? May I suggest upon leaving today that you take with you the free gift, Jesus. Won't cost you anything money-wise, but it's going to cost you everything in terms of giving your life over to him. But the reward is phenomenal, right? This stuff is going to pass away. And when we look at our sister-in-law and see how fragile life is, we go back to the word and have understanding this is a temporal place. We're only going to be here for a very short time. And the whole scheme of things, I don't even realize that I'm going to be 58 this year. I don't feel 58. Because my spirit man's being renewed day by day, right? All of us that are of a certain age. But my fleshly man is starting to deteriorate. I'm having back issues, all these other things going on. But the reality is I got a revelation, even as a little boy, this stuff is temporal. It's going to go away. So all those lusts that, oh, I'm going to enjoy this, it, the things of our youth, doesn't matter. It's going to go away. But what he has for me is eternal. And I'm looking for the prize. Going to hold fast, fight the good fight, right? Don't give up. If you endure till the end, you will be saved. All the churches in Revelation told him what their condition was, the seven churches. And at the end of every one of them, he says, and if you endure till the end, you shall be saved. And that's the prize. May I suggest you clothe yourself in Christ and have dominion in the earth. Because you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're not a defeated foe. If you walk your walk out of here today thinking you're defeated, oh my gosh, what's Satan going to do to me next? What's going to happen? I've had 14 crises this week already. Really, Lord? Really, right? And it seems like it's not just one. It starts hitting you 3, 4, 5, all these different things. And he says, as I said from the beginning, and hear me very clearly, fear not. Terry, fear not. Dawn, fear not. You're not in control. Ding, 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 ding. I am. And I'm about to take care of your business if you'll let me. Jesus said he is all powerful and all authority was given to him and he now turned it over to his kingdom kids when he left the earth. How do we have authority in the earth? What gives us our power? It's the Holy Spirit, right? He sent in the Holy Spirit. And believe me, you are a powerhouse. You are dynamite for the kingdom if you wield it. According to, I should say, as led by the Holy Spirit, right? We're kingdom kids. He's not leaving you hanging. Word says that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. It's in Mark. And the Lord said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be plucked up and rooted, and be planted in the sea, and should obey. Jesus wasn't moved by stuff. He arose. There was a storm on the sea. Disciples are all panicky. That's kind of like you and I in our struggles and our trials and our storm. Oh, we're perishing. Jesus is like, what is going on? I've got it covered. And in a word, he rebuked the wind. And I got to tell you about the word. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. You wield a very powerful weapon. You wield Christ. You wield the Holy Spirit operating through you. So be careful what you say. You can create life or death. Lord God, your word says that we should. Your word says in Scripture that whatever we bind in the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. So I come before your throne room. This is an example. And I say, Lord God, my sister-in-law's kidneys are failing her. Your word says what we bind in the earth shall be bound in heaven. I bind in the name of Jesus the Christ, kidney failure. I bind it because your word says what we bind in the earth shall be bound in heaven. And I loose from the throne room of God itself divine health now in the name of Jesus. Now it says in his hands. But I've been obedient to do what his word says. He said there's power in the tongue. If you don't have revelation when you leave here about who you are, I suggest you go to your prayer room and ask the Lord to reveal it to you. You are kingdom kids. Jesus wasn't messing around in the earth when he walked the earth. He took care of business. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, took care of daddy's business, which is kingdom business, and now he's deferred it to you and said, the things that I did, you're supposed to do in the earth now. You're not powerless. You're not victim. You're not a victim of your circumstances. You're a kingdom kid. And when you cry out and decree and declare in the name of Jesus, something is going to happen. That's the word. It is finished. I've given you dominion back. I've reestablished kingdom. And now as you walk through the earth, we're not just supposed to go to church. We're supposed to be church. And the church is powerful. The Apostle Paul said it. My words are not words alone. They're accompanied by power. The same Spirit that speaks through me as I minister speaks through you. And wherever God leads you, you are the church outside the four walls. I said at the beginning, we're a Holy Spirit church. I'm talking about the body overall. We're not just a church that sits and sings songs. We are a powerful, anointed church. And it's time that the church rose up in this hour. He wants you to get rid of fear, let go, and let God. Why can we do it? Because Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. Let's take up an offering at this point.